No, I was in charge of an Indian, eventually, Indian unit, Indian troops.
Mm.
So I had a quite interesting time. I was 2 years in Burma. Quite an interesting time with the Indians, who spoke another batch of foreign languages.
Yes. So you spent the war in India?
Well, a fair part, just 2 years.
2 years, yes.
I came back from India in September 46 and went back to university.
Right. And what was your subject?
Mainly mathematics.
Mm.
And then I did a second degree in Glasgow.
More mathematics?
No, in education.
Ah.
And yes. I taught in Glasgow for 3 years, and at the same time I was attending classes.
Yes.
In the university.
And your mother was still living at Dalhousie?
She was still living, and she was teaching in Dalhousie.
Yes. Yes. And did she teach there until she retired?
She did.
Do you remember much about living in Dalhousie when you were there? Remember anything?
Well, you mean that in the early years or later on? I'll give you a rundown on the people who lived there. Let us take the year 1928. I was at school in Dalhousie from Midmore. And at that time, John McCaskill was farming in Wood End. And the farmer in Western Wood End was called Reet. And he had in his employment an orphan. I'm yes. trying to remember that the orphan who worked for the Reet family, he would have been about 16 in those days. And of course, I used to meet John McCaskill, the farmer at Wood End, and this young lad working at Wester Wood End as I walked along the road. And of course, time didn't mean very much in those days.
So you walked to Delancey School.
And then in Achintowel, as I walked on the way, there were the Stuarts, and the two or three of the Stuart family used to come up and join in. And at the same time, from the gardener's cottage at Kailahe, there used to be the Mackenzie family.
Mm.
And we moved on. Then you passed Corrivore, and that was at that time operated by Alan Tulloch, who was a bachelor and quite a character. So that was the road you got to the school at that stage.
Mm.
Well, the main part of the school came from the lower end. At that time, there would have been quite a number of pupils at the top end of the glen.
Was it a school there?
At one time, though, it was, because the Black Jock, as he was known, he had quite a big family, and there was a lady teaching up at the top end for...
He was a sister of Mary McCaskill, is that right?
Yes, I am. Yeah. So that took us to the school, and I've given you the farm. Now, going the other way, you know the cottage, as I'm going down from Midmall towards Bridge End, there was a cottage on the left-hand side of the road. That was occupied by the Reet family when they retired from Western Wood End. Mm. And next to it, in the wood, there was a cottage. It has now disappeared from the scene, long ago. Occupied by a Miss Anne Cameron, who would have been related to my grandfather, John Cameron. And she was accompanied by her brother, Sandy, who had been out in America, worked there always a good part of his life, and then came back and retired there. Then, carrying on the road, you came past the farm of Dell on the right-hand side, and then you came to Willie Noble's cottage on the left-hand side, and then you were at Fintorn Bridge. And at Fintorn Bridge, right on the corner, where there is a house now, there was a little shop occupied by Beale Bread. He and his sister lived in this.
And was it right that his sister was called Betty Biscuit?
Yes, that's right. They had a little shop, and the distinctive smell that remains with me going in there was the smell of the bread. I don't know where they got the bread. It was quite distinct.
Maybe they baked it themselves.
I don't think they did.
No.
Well, that disappeared. It had disappeared. I think it had disappeared by the time war broke out. Because Beal bread, do you remember it?
I don't remember. I remember of him. I remember hearing of him. I don't remember.
You don't remember the shop?
No, I can't remember the shop. Maybe your mother living there latterly.
long after she'd retired.
But that wasn't a shop. It was just.
No. It was a cottage that had been there. When it was built. So that took me to the corner and the Beal bread shop, and then I turned left, and carrying on to the right was, as it still is, Morrill Farm. And then it was, there were no houses at all.
Who was in the farm at that time?
My first memory of it would have been a McGilvery, Donny McGilvery, who, or his forebears. During the war, he used to fly. He was in the RAF in some capacity, although I think he was somewhat old for active service. But he used to fly the Westland Lysander plane, and he used to fly up the glen.
Do you know, I remember that. I remember one of those planes coming over.
Low down.
Yes.
And it was a peculiar aircraft.
Double wings.
It was used a lot in the to go in, could land on a very short runway, and they used to go into France and drop off spies. And right, there was no village hall or anything at all, and you got along to the Tomatin shop, occupied at that stage by the MacDougall family. And they were characters. They had a back shop, if you know what that means.
Yes.
And there was, as my memory goes, there was the father and two sons who were the main characters. And, of course, Sunday characters went into the back shop at any hour of the day for nourishment.
Yes.
And I remember being in the shop on one occasion and hearing a bit of a tiff going on between Father MacDougall and one of the sons who had been reducing the level of a bottle, rather. And on the opposite side of the road from the shop, there were, I think they're still there, two petrol pumps.
No longer there.
Pumps. And in those days, petrol would have been, well, I'm a little bit beyond 1927, take us along to about 1935, 36. Petrol would have been about one and threepence halfpenny. One and threepence halfpenny
a gallon.
And if you were buying pink petrol, which was rather higher octane, is one and fourpence halfpenny.
And it was hand operated.
Oh, that was hand operated pump. And then above that, the pumps, the little road that ran up where the inn now is and their house there, that was Tomatin Hard Farm. What was it? An active farm.
Really?
Because there was no school there, there was no Tomatin Inn, and there were one or two cottages along the road that cuts back up.
Old Mill Road.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember the
Hard Freezers.
Freezers, right. And then I went along under the bridge. Well, there was a little tin church there then. Just under the bridge, there was the post office on the left. And there was the nurse's house on the right, and I went along towards the first bend thereafter, and there was the smiddy, the blacksmith's thing.
Yes.
And then you turned left to go up to the railway station. It was very active in those days.
Yes.
You remember the railway?
Well, the railway was functional insofar as the local station was concerned. For a considerable period after the war. See, if come August, September, all the lambs went down by train to be sold in Inverness. No end of wagons were pulled in on the siding and loaded on, and they were picked up in the somehow in the morning into Inverness. Mr. Smith would have been the station master mid-30s. I don't know that he was a station master in 27, 28, which was the fixed point I was using.